All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Brooklyn Boxing Podcast. I'm here with Olivia Young, I should say. And first, I got to ask, do I call you Olivia or Liv? I know you got it on your website. All the work play with Liv.
Olivia is my, yeah.
Awesome. So, you know, reading a little bit about your backstory, we'll jump into it. But you grew up in Miami, so warm weather. You always loved exercising, and you got into yoga at a young age, right? So what brought you to yoga? I know that's, you know, obviously a huge part of Boxing Flow, but I want to get into that.
Yeah, I started practicing yoga when I was 15 for no specific reason. I think I was just looking for a commitment, and there was a yoga studio near my house, and it sort of pushed me out of my comfort zone in a way that I had not felt before, whether it was because it was Bikram and like 110 degrees or because I, you know, had no other challenge in my life at the time. Whatever it was, it drew me in, and I still practice every day. So I don't practice Bikram every day, but I practice yoga as like a complete commitment to me. And then, you know, age 15, yoga, I started boxing at age 20, so about 5 years later, just because there was a boxing studio on my way to my yoga studio, and there were sweaty men fighting, and I was like, what is this? So it caught my attention, and without really like recognizing at the time, I think like shortly thereafter, I realized like there was such a juxtaposition between like the long breath of yoga, the lengthening of the muscles versus like the shortness, the aggression, the intensity of boxing, the short, sharp breath, like the exhale on every single punch. And to me, it just spoke to duality, like, you know, fight and flow, you know, strength and softness. And I believe that we need both. We as humans have duality naturally, and boxing and yoga channeled both sides of myself. And so I wanted to bring that to the world because it was how I was practicing for so long.
Definitely. Yeah. And then in Miami, you know, there's some legendary boxing gyms, Fifth Street Gym, Ollie used to train in, and there's so many legends that have come out of that gym. So there's a rich history down there. Were you a boxing fan growing up, or was it something that just kind of started off, like you said, when you started training when you were 20?
No, I wasn't. I have three brothers and they probably boxed me a little bit, but it wasn't about the sport of it. It was about the feeling that I received from it. It made me feel strong. The first time I hit a heavy bag, I sort of felt everything that I was holding on to. And at that moment, like all the opportunities to just let go, and in a different way that, you know, yoga is such a release too, but in a completely different way. But it was never about the sport. I've never fought. I've barely sparred. I've trained one-on-one for many, many years with a coach, but just because I wanted to hone the skills and like understand how to move more efficiently and also just like more gracefully. I always say the best fighters are dancers. And that was like the idea of like flow through the fight and finding ease through resistance and sort of allowing your body to move gracefully. And yeah. I see fighters when I watch boxing, to me, it's choreographed in a way. It's beautiful. It's a dance, even though there's blood and guts and spit and all that stuff. And I don't want to be in the ring, but I can appreciate the way that fighters move.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, when you mention, you know, boxing as a dance, it immediately brings to my mind Vasily Lomachenko, lightweight king right now. He's a Ukrainian fighter. And very kind of funny backstory with him as he grew up. His dad really molded him into the fighter he is today. Didn't let him box at a young age and actually had him in dance class, traditional Ukrainian dance class for years, mastering basically his footwork and being light on his feet. And that was really the base for his boxing. And it shows so much today. It's kind of like a funny story. People look at him and they're like, wow, like how is this guy, you know, he has a Ukrainian dance background, and that's really the foundation of his success in the ring, is his footwork and his ability to really, you know, stifle his opponents with his movement. So 100% correct. Yeah. The boxing is a dance. There's so much rhythm and flow to it. So I think you're kind of right on the ball there.
I mean, it makes so much sense. Even like football players, they take ballet or anything, like athletes, so many athletes now are required to learn yoga or practice yoga. And I think you know, I used to train at Church Street Boxing for many years, and there was one fighter or coach named Action Jackson. He's sort of renowned. He's trained a lot of people, and he was the first guy that actually that, you know, held mitts for me, and he holds mitts with his eyes closed, and he's a little bit older, and he's sort of this funny persona, but he stopped me in the gym, like early on when I started training there. He's like, who are you? And I was like, what? I was like, who are you? And he's like, I'm Action. I'm like, cool, I'm Olivia. He's like, but what is this? And I went into it in yoga and boxing, and it was before I started Box and Flow. And I said, you know, he said, he's like, couldn't believe it. He's like, I am so in line with your way of thinking. He's like, what happens when you throw a rock into a water? And I was like, I don't know, it sinks. And he's like, yep. He's like, and when like a whip, if you like reverberate a whip, what happens? And I was like, it reverberates, it flows. And he's like, exactly. He's like, you want to be the whip, not the hammer. You want to be able to like float. You know, I remember it so vividly, because then when he would hold mitts for me with his eyes closed, he could just feel my energy. Like, and we were dancing together. And so it just changed my perspective just in my interaction with him about like how you throw a punch. You want to go through. You don't want to just like land, right? And so again, I think the best fighters have that sort of, you know, the malleability to be like water, as opposed to just be like heavy and I don't want to say tough, but like, harsh, right? Again, I think like fighters as dancers, they just move.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, there's kind of a few sides like within boxing. You know, you have your typical kind of brawler style guys who really come forward and they're willing to take a punch to get off a punch on their opponent, and those guys exist, and there's guys that do well at that. But it does look, for the most part, you know, through history, that the most successful guys are the ones that are able to hit and not get hit. And that really comes down to your rhythm and your defensive skill and footwork and all of those things, you know, kind of relate back to what we were saying here, is mastering that flow and being able to be fluid in your movements. And a lot of guys turn to cross training with yoga now, like Floyd Mayweather, on his 24/7 HBO series. Many times before some of his big fights, he was doing hot yoga pretty close to the fight. So it just shows that these guys are looking for other ways to train, not just in the ring, not just through hard sparring sessions, and really trying to open up their bodies to new movements and get prepared in that manner. So yeah, no,
beyond, beyond the body too, it's meditation. It's like, yeah, boxing to me is moving meditation, but so is yoga. So if you can find strength in stillness, like, and channel that energy when you're moving, then you can stay focused. You know, you don't get distracted, and you're fully in control of your body, you know, without having your mind like leave the ring. And I think that's when you win anything. Forget a boxing match, like life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, kind of to rewind here, you know, obviously you're an incredibly focused person to achieve what you have with Box and Flow, but then also in your past in the world of food. And I thought that was really interesting, your backstory being with Ultima Rea and being with that food group. And you know, for people that don't know, I'd love you to dive more into really what that means and that kind of you know, fine dining experience and the level of detail that's included in those meals, and the level of focus that the chefs and everyone, you know, in those groups has. So I think it's kind of an interesting backstory for you to touch on and tell the listeners that, you know, your focus was on food before it was, well, it was always on fitness, but, you know, a big part of your time was spent on in that industry.
I moved to New York to go to culinary school after college, and I was really focused on getting into food writing. So I worked at Food & Wine magazine, and then I went in-house for Ultima Rea Group as Chef Michael White's assistant when I was 23. I took all of his PR in-house at 24, and I became brand director probably 7 months later. So I worked there for 7.5 years, built 18 restaurants across the world. My boss, the CEO of the company, was the former president of Merrill Lynch. So the fact that he sort of he empowered me and, you know, put his trust in me at age 23. I clearly, he saw something in me. And the irony with like the boxing and yoga practice is that I had been boxing and practicing yoga long before that. And I always thought that like boxing gave me strength and confidence and yoga forced me to slow down and feel. And from, you know, 7 a.m. sweaty, looking like a homeless person at Church Street Gym to an hour and a half later, I was at a 2 Michelin-starred restaurant, like in Louboutins, dressed to the nine. And that duality in itself was interesting. But I think that the practice in the morning set me up for my success later in the day. So my background is in food. It was, you know, French culinary trained, you know, brand director, large company, former president of Merrill Lynch as my boss, built 18 restaurants globally. And my commitment to me every day, regardless, was like my physical practice, my physical and spiritual practice. But my focus on food was because I love the art of dining. I love the idea of conviviality around a kitchen. I come from a big family. My family's actually in the food business. I have 3 brothers. Everyone meets in the kitchen. So for me, it was about like creating connection through food. And I worked for an incredible company. Attention to detail, yes. You know, I was empowered to succeed and run a team at a very young age. And it became less about food for me and more about being able to see myself in a place of like empowerment, you know, being able to change the way people felt in a dining situation. And I wanted to take that focus then and put it into something I created myself. I knew that I was an entrepreneur. I didn't know what that meant specifically. I didn't want to be in fitness per se. I'd never thought about it. Fitness was always something I just consumed. It was something I practiced. But when it came down to like thinking about how I wanted to spend my time or what I wanted to bring to the world, I had to really dig deep into like, you know, what matters to me. And it's not, what matters to me isn't boxing and yoga. It's the way that people feel. And so I had to go back to, you know, what makes me feel strong? What do I want to contribute to society? And it was, again, that feeling I got every morning, that strength and softness through boxing and yoga. And sort of that's where, you know, Box and Flow was conceived.
Yeah. And a lot of that feel that you try to get your diners to experience when you're in the restaurant industry. What are some of the parallels maybe between that and then creating Box and Flow and making sure, you know, the experience of that workout class is what you aim it to be? Or are there parallels there in trying to create that sort of ambiance or have that person leave that place feeling a certain way?
It's just hospitality. Like, I'm not serving fitness, I'm serving feeling. I'm serving, I want people to walk in and find a better sense of self by the time that they leave. And it's different than dining because dining is purely consumption. You know, I think that the food, the products is important, but it's more like how you make people feel, similar to a fitness situation. But I don't know, in a way for me, it's more holistic. Like, you can have the best meal in the world and you create memories and it's for an anniversary or just an amazing Wednesday night and surrounded by people you love and you'll never forget that time. And I think very similar to fitness, but for me, it's finding sort of this idea of wellness from like inside out. So that's like my gift, as opposed to like the best bottle of champagne and the most beautiful bowl of pasta. So it just depends on what you value more. Like, I love dining out.
Not the boxer diet there.
No, I think, once you know, in a while. Yeah. And at the same time, it's like, do you eat what makes you feel good, all that stuff. But, you know, I think it's all relative, like the way that you move, the way that you fuel yourself, the way that you speak to yourself, the way that you connect to yourself. That's what I'm teaching at Box and Flow. It was really never about the workout. It was about the feeling. And I think the feeling, it's about, you know, recognizing the fight is within, right? So this idea of flow through the fight, the brand mantra, is about finding ease through resistance, finding flow through your own fight so that, you know, everything in your life can connect when you connect to it. And then you start eating better because you're actually connected to how your body feels when you eat. It's not like, oh, I'm going to go work out super hard, you know, and then go stuff my face because I earned it. Like, that's not my mindset behind it. So the dining world, I think it's a place of joy and celebration, but there's also incredible gluttony in it. And I think when I stopped connecting to the idea of that, I had to let it go, because it didn't feel, when I saw that, like, I wasn't interested in staying out till 5 a.m. drinking bourbon and eating, you know, aged steaks with celebrity chefs, because I was waking up at 5 a.m. to go work out. Like, my life just changed. And it doesn't have to be so polarizing, one or the other. I believe it's about balance. But, you know, when you know your body well enough, you know what makes it feel good, what food makes it feel good, and how you move, you know, what makes it feel good. And it's never, even you're talking about, you know, Mayweather, it's not just boxing, it's yoga, it's movement outside of just like one thing. So the fine dining world, if it's just amazing food all the time, it's like, it becomes one dimensional, you become quite jaded from it. It's the same as if you're taking the class every single day or doing anything the same every single day, it just becomes one dimensional, it's boring.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to hear you talk about it. I mean, it's I'm a fan of food, and like, I love watching Chef's Table on Netflix, and you know, I was a huge fan of Anthony Bourdain, No Reservations, and just getting the inside look of a lot of these restaurants, especially in New York, is really cool. So hearing you talk about it is really interesting. But
the best part about Bourdain, I mean, I had the privilege, I was in Italy with him for 10 days filming No Reservations with with Michael White, which is one of the most amazing things I've ever done. But like, Anthony Bourdain, you know, he went through phases in his life. He was an addict. He loved to, I mean, he introduced me to Negroni at 11 o'clock in a market in Bologna. You know, I never drank one before, we got hammered, and it was amazing. But like, his ex-wife was is an MMA fighter, and she got him into Igor Gracie, and he got really into,
into jiu-jitsu,
heavily into jiu-jitsu. And it wasn't always, but he became heavily into it, and his life changed. He became healthier, and I think he found, you know, a different sense of self through like different training besides chopping in the kitchen or writing. He found a different therapy, and that just speaks to, you know, we all have multiple dimensions, but it's about discovering those sides of ourselves. For me, it was never just about food, and it will never just be about fitness. It's about really creating a life that provides nuance in all aspects. Like, food tastes better when you feel better. You know, words come easier when you're more connected to what you're saying or speaking to. And then you look at someone in the ring, like somebody that's multifaceted, that's a dancer and also a fighter, he moves differently, has a different approach. It's not just one thing. We're not meant to just be one thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like Bourdain with jiu-jitsu, you know, you with boxing, and the examples are kind of endless in terms of a lot of people that are in a creative space, whether it's food, art, music, you know, et cetera, it seems like a lot of those people really gravitate towards martial arts in general, obviously different disciplines within that. But I think it's because, you know, in martial arts, it's really a form of self-expression. It's totally kind of like you were mentioning with yoga. It's like therapy mentally. There's a lot of different benefits to it. I mean, it's obviously a discipline, which helps. And, you know, boxing saves so many lives, as does really every martial art. It gets people focused, gets them in shape.
It's also such an outlet for addicts. Like, if you look at chefs in I would say most iterations are addicts in a way. They're addicted to food, or recovered alcoholics or drug addicts, whatever it is. And, you know, I think boxing, it requires a focus, a discipline, as you say. In some ways, it becomes another addiction. You know, like, I definitely practice every single day. I also have a glass of wine, you know, or a beer, you know, 5 times a week, whatever else. Maybe I have an addictive personality, whatever it is. I don't feel bad about one or the other, because I know that, like, you know, both are forms of celebration for me. And I think that anything in moderation is fine. I think when you go one way or the other, but, you know, boxing, fighting, martial arts has saved so many chefs, just like, for a small example, chefs. Yeah. And which is, Amazing. And maybe it's because, you know, the kitchen is a hard environment and it's daunting and it's weird hours and this is how they get their aggression out. Whatever it is, who cares how they get it out as long as they get it out.
Yeah. And I'm curious if there's a parallel here between, you know, there's fighters that people say in the gym, no one can beat them, right? Like some guy in the gym with sparring, he's just unstoppable, but under the bright lights, he's a different guy. Or different woman, I should say. Shout out to Michaela Mayer last night on ESPN. She was the first women's boxer to be main event on Top Rank, I think, in like 30 or 40 years. So shout out to her. But back to my point was, you know, there's people in the gym that are studs, and then when they get under the bright lights, they're not the same person. Is that the same in the food world, like with a chef? Are there people who are amazing chefs, but in a high pace, maybe in a high paced atmosphere or like a New York atmosphere where it's really high intensity, high pressure, they don't shine as bright?
I mean, I think everything is like on an individual basis. I think it depends what it's used for. Like if cooking is really your skill, maybe boxing is just your personal outlet. Like you might not like plan on being a fighter. I think it's the same as an incredible writer who's super introverted and can't speak. Like everything's so personal. I also just think it comes back to like our confidence level. Like where do you feel, you know, most confident? Some people it's behind the camera. Some people it's in front of the camera. Some people it's both. But I think it goes back to like, even just like brand message, like flow through the fight, like, you know, where do you find ease through resistance? If being in front of the camera is your pain point, can you find the confidence behind the camera to then allow yourself to be seen, right? It all comes down to like, where do you feel resistance? And that has nothing to do with boxing. It has to do with yoga in a lot of ways. Yoga means to yoke, to bring together connection, self. And I think ultimately, like how you see yourself is how the world sees you. So do you see yourself with confidence? Do you feel yourself with ease? Is there love there? Or is it just fight? Is it just resistance? If somebody gets into a ring and they're not confident and all of a sudden their insecurity takes over, they're not going to win that fight, whether it's actually in a fight or on a stage or in a business meeting or, you know, with the romantic partner, like all of it's connected. How do you see yourself? And I think that's like the mindset behind Boxing Flow is finding ease through resistance, because we're all carrying so much fight internally. Like the fight is literally inside, you know, how you speak to yourself matters. How you show up matters. In Boxing Flow, there are no mirrors. It's really not about how you look like, it's about how you feel. And nobody knows how you feel but you.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're doing on the bag. You're in my room. I'm teaching you. It's up to you to be open to the experience, to be in the music, to be in the breath, to be with your energy, and then to be able to like rip your gloves off, find the mat, and like open your body up for the last 15-minute vinyasa flow. And if you're worried about the judgment around you or the comparison with somebody else, like you're not going to get an experience. You're going to, you know, be stuck in the story of why it wasn't good enough, why you can't touch your toes, all the other bullshit. That's fight. I don't know about anybody else in life. I want more flow.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Kind of touching on the boxing aspect of your class. This kind of reverts back to like many discussions I've had with pro fighters and trainers and a lot of people really deep in the sport and kind of their feelings on boxing fitness classes. For me, obviously, you know, I'm a boxing fan big time. I also totally support boxing for fitness. I think people using it is great. You know, use it to get in shape. It makes you feel good. That's awesome. But a common theme amongst a lot of people really deep within the sport and really myself that I do truly believe in is the importance of the fundamentals and really respecting boxing for the martial art that it is. So, you know, I'm not saying that what you're doing is wrong by any means, but I'm more asking you, what are you doing to kind of ensure that respect is there around the sport of boxing? Because I feel like there's some places that sense, they tend to lose that kind of sense around the sport or the respect for the art of boxing. And it becomes more of, it waters down really kind of like what the sport is about. And I know that you're not trying to do that. You're really trying to honor the sport. I know you're, you know, certified yoga instructor and put so many hours in, and you want to give them that, you know, base experience. So
kind of, it comes back to purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not claiming to be a fight gym, or I'm by no means a professional fighter. Do I train one-on-one? Yes. Twice a week. I have been for many, many years, but my client isn't coming here to train to be a professional fighter. If they are, I give them all the resources to do that. I'm giving people an outlet to, you know, find a release. And different than other fitness studios, boxing fitness studios, where it's for the show and the smoke and mirrors and to say that they took off their shirt, took a selfie, celebrity trainers, all the other bullshit, and mad respect. Everybody has a business. For me, I will not say that I am teaching people to fight. I'm trying to create a space where people can recognize the fight they have within, so that they can find their flow. So do we teach technique? Yes, but in the environment of a fitness class where you're going to be given the tools quickly, yeah, and then be able to utilize them in a way that it's very simple. Like, and I always say, if you complicate it, you know, it gets complicated. The box and flow method is to the rhythm of the music in your breath, almost exactly to be like a dance, so that you get out of your head. Because I also think that when you make things too challenging for somebody who's not learning to fight, you lose them because they feel defeated right in the beginning of class. Like, I can't do this, right? So I think it comes back to like what the goal is. For me and for Box and Flow, the goal is to, you know, create an environment where people can face themselves, right? Not to taint the art of boxing, and also not to teach the art of boxing. Like, very clear. So if people are coming here to learn boxing technique, unless they're coming to a technique class, they're in the wrong class. Mm-hmm. And we do teach technique, but like separately, and we do teach technique before we teach the actual class. But the fundamental, like the Box and Flow class, the method isn't about like learning skills to fight.
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate that. I think a lot of people listening will also appreciate that. I mean, there's a ton of boxing fans and people, you know, that I've interacted with, and it's kind of a complicated topic because some people, it's hard for them kind of to understand. But I think when you're clearly stating what you're doing, as you just did, I think it's a great thing for people to get in shape and really, you know, experience that class and get the yoga feel as well. So, you know, I appreciate your,
I think typically people will come and then they gain such a deep respect for boxing, and then they want to learn.
Yeah.
Which then they take it forward.
Yeah. Which is really good. I mean, it's good for the sport. The more people, like I was talking on a previous episode with Michael Olajide. I don't know, you might be familiar with him.
Sure. But I mean, I started there at Aerospace in the Meatpacking District.
Exactly. Anyway. So, you know, Michael had obviously his amazing story. He really started boxing for fitness, you know, many years ago. A pretty amazing story. But yeah, I mean, he talks a lot about that and the fitness side of things. And yeah, I think it's a great thing that you're doing, and more and more people are having boxing gloves in their apartment, in the corner of the apartment. And at the end of the day, that's good for the sport. There's more eyes and interest on the sport, which it needs desperately. There's a lot of fighters being promoted, but even like the woman I mentioned, Michaela Mayer, who fought last night, underpromoted, like, and that's an issue in the sport. She's a young star, super marketable, undefeated former Olympian from the US, and you know, not many people knew that she was fighting last night. And some of those issues you wouldn't see in the UFC, for instance. You know, they've done a much better job getting women fighters in the main event and really headlining cards. And they've had countless stars that are really household names now, with Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm. And, you know, there's many others. So I think boxing has some catching up to do on that front. Clarissa Shields is another name. She's, you know, I don't even know how many world titles she has right now, but she has a lot, and she's only 25. She's a young star. Mm. And I think it's getting better, but like I said, more exposure, more people interested in boxing, talking about boxing, the better, because there's so many bright stars, men and women, and they all have amazing backstories. So I think it's really important what you're doing. And, you know, I applaud you for doing that and setting that clear mission, because I think a lot of people kind of muddy the waters, and they almost act like they're fighters or like trainers. I think you know what I'm talking about, when they're really not.
Yeah. I think it all comes down to, like, again, smoke and mirrors. Like, is it a show? What are you doing? Are you putting on a show, or are you actually trying to teach something? And for me, if you were to say, Olivia, what's Box and Flow? My simple answer is, Box and Flow is inspiration and empowerment through energy, breath, movement, and music. Nothing in that definition says it's teaching people how to fight, it's boxing or yoga. I don't even say that. I want to create a feeling, and the feeling begins within. And so that is the same reason why I said it's not about how it looks, it's about how it feels. And once people understand and embrace the feeling of it, the confidence, the strength of it, that's when usually they'll go and hone their skills. They'll get their yoga teacher certification. They'll start, you know, yoga training. They'll start boxing training. They'll learn how to fight. But this is a space for them to just feel themselves first.
Yep. And, you know, with Box and Flow right now, obviously with the virus and everything that's going on, but is there any kind of plans for virtual classes or anything that you're doing sort of during these months? Obviously, it's pretty trying for everyone.
Totally. I mean, I've been teaching virtual classes for like 4 months now. So like, I closed and flew down to Miami Beach and was teaching for my parents' home. Back in New York City, I opened a flagship space 3 weeks before shutdown, and I'm in here right now, taught today, sort of nonstop. So if you've never been to Box and Flow, it's 7-day free week trial. All the information is at boxandflow.com, and you don't need any equipment. You just need yourself.
Awesome. And so I'd love for you to, you know, give a little shout out to wherever people can follow you and check out Box and Flow and your personal page. I know you're putting out a lot of great content, so I'd love people and people watching to check that out.
Thank you. So you can find me at Liv Young on Instagram. I write a blog that relates this whole mindset to Box and Flow. It's livyoung.co, livyoung.co. Again, I'm at Liv Young on Instagram, and you can find Box and Flow at Box and Flow or at boxandflow.com. And I hope you'll come and check us out.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks so much.
Of course, thank you.
It was a great discussion. And
you got to come and take a class too when we reopen.
Yeah, 100%. I'll be there. And then I'd love to do it again once we're back in the studio, and could grab a coffee and do it in person. So
perfect. Love to. Thank you so much, Pat.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay.